Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Boston's home for sports on your phone. Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Pats, News, podcasts. Listen live from anywhere.
Something is the key to all of this.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow The Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Got the snap. Mayfield fumble on the exchange, and Lawrence Guy comes up with it for the Patriots. Third lost fumble by Cleveland. Mayfield on the mesh with Nick Chubb. This coughing it up to the Patriots.
This might be one of the most dumbest, most talented teams we've seen at Foxborough. Baker Mayfield flips the ball to Lawrence Guy, who's a free rusher, right in the middle. He's looking right at him. And he just throws it to
You're
him.
You're right. I thought it was on the mesh. He tossed the ball underhanded right to Lawrence Guy.
Who tosses it underhand anyway to jet sweep underneath? It's like he's on the take.
Listening to Zoe and Sosi during that game was real fun because Scott was legitimately just amazed at how crappy Cleveland was. Just how dumb they were.
And he's right. Look at all that talent. I mean, look at Landry. Look at Odell Beckham. And I'm telling you. Well, Nick Chubb's great. I mean, other than, of course, the two fumbles. One of them, I don't blame him because he got kicked out. The second one, you got to protect that.
Well, yeah, he got kicked in the face by he got the ball kicked out of his hand. So,
But Zolak's right. That is a team that should be better than they are. And if it's, once again, you can trace a lot of it right back to their coach, who is bafflingly bad. Astoundingly bad. There's no way he survives this season.
You figure they would have at least two more wins with a competent head coach?
What are they now?
They're 2-5.
They're 2-5. And they're Well, look at the teams that they've lost to. I mean, their schedule is not that tough.
No, but I just think that Baker Mayfield's a bad quarterback, and I think that that causes a lot of problems.
As bad as he is he the second best quarterback the Patriots have played this year?
Next to Roethlisberger?
Yep.
Probably.
I think he's the second best quarterback they've played. Better than Daniel Jones, better than Luke Falk, better than Sam Darnold. I'm talking about right now, this year.
Certainly, I'll give you this. It's the second best offense, or it should be the best offense.
It should be the best offense. Yeah. Without a doubt, it should be.
Yes. And Baker Mayfield has, I mean, Jesus.
Tannehill, Falk,
Josh Rosen,
Allen,
Fitzpatrick.
And Darnold played as poorly as you can play as a quarterback in that game.
And I'm not, and this isn't, once again, trying to blow up Baker Mayfield, make him to seem better than he is, but he's the second best quarterback that the Patriots have played this year.
That you could make that argument. All right, Will Brinson is senior writer for CBSSports.com. You can catch Will on the Pick Six podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, sir.
What's happening, guys? I was actually having a discussion online with some folks from Cleveland. Literally, I think it's unfolding right now. I stopped talking to them and came to talk to you guys. But their point was, if you look at the Browns' schedule the rest of the way, and I've been saying this for a couple weeks now, like, I think the Browns are going to make some sort of false hope playoff run like they did last year. There's no pressure on this team. They get the Dolphins, Steelers twice, the Bengals twice, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I am not excusing this team at all because they are they to paraphrase Jenny Green, they are who we thought they were, or at least I thought they were, because they are sloppily led by a first-year head coach. Tom Curran of CSN New England had a great tweet during the game where he compared the Browns sideline to the Patriots sideline. It's like everybody is like organized and in place. I mean, it's like Freddie Kitchens versus Bill Belichick, and the juxtaposition of those two teams as Belichick is winning his 300th game against the team that fired him so many years ago. It was kind of perfect. I will say this, Freddie Kitchens, I don't understand why any NFL head coach in their first year would try to call plays. This guy is so overwhelmed. That fourth, I mean, you obviously heard about the fourth and 16, right? I talked to some people yesterday who didn't hear about what happened.
Okay, his explanation was astounding.
I don't want to burn the time out, of course.
Yeah. Right, well, Tracy Wilson reported on it in the middle of the game, and it sort of flew under the radar because the game was out of control. She was like, yeah, the rumor on the sideline is he was trying to save this timeout. And it's like, what is this guy doing? That plus the pass interference challenge, his explanation for that was unbelievable as well. He's like, well, you know, that yard is, you know, kind of big. Like, you got to just throw it out there and see what happens with the yard.
I mean, no,
like,
maybe you don't. The yard, no.
It's like, no, you absolutely do not.
And you've seen Patricia, who's, you know, no Lombardi, save. Just not even bother to challenge pass interference because he figured, what's the point?
Well, what's the stat that they said on the broadcast as far as pass interference challenges? It's like 0-22 or something like that?
I think it's like 1-25 or something. I mean, it's really
one?
Low.
Yeah, I don't even remember the one.
Was, it was Pete Carroll against the Steelers in week two, I believe.
All right.
And it's actually, go back and watch it, it's not even that egregious. My theory on it, by the way, not to sidetrack it, is that because that changed the game. The Steelers would have beat the Seahawks if not for that penalty being overturned. And I think that after the review changed the outcome of the game, sort of, that somebody had a talk with Al Riveron, and that's when he just put this thing on lockdown.
Okay, and then you said after that, no more, unless it's absolutely, utterly egregious.
Right, I don't know about that either, because I've seen pretty egregious ones that haven't been overturned, but I suppose that's the idea. But yeah,
and it was hilarious last night, too, is right? They're like, the booth will automatically review whether there's pass interference. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, right, great. You guys are going to do a fantastic job with that. I'm sure everyone will be pleased with this outcome.
All right, so this is going to be an interesting trade deadline, especially because there's two players out there that the Patriots had been rumored to have been linked to, but we're told, hands off, we're not dealing either of these guys. Trent Williams, who I don't know how they could afford now, but at least the Redskins didn't completely lose a ton of value that they could have gotten by just sitting on this dude for no reason. I don't know why they just didn't decide to trade him at the beginning of the season, but Trent Williams now available.
You know why, right?
Yeah.
You know why they're doing.
Why?
It's just personal. It's just personal.
Bitterness. Oh. Yeah,
just of course.
Spite.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but then again, that's not what rational organizations do.
No, it's not what rational
the Redskins
people
do. Yeah, it's what the Redskins do.
You're a business, dude. Get the first round pick. You're about to be one of the five worst teams in football. Get the first round pick and get some value for next year instead of just letting this guy sit out. It's inconceivable how bad.
And it's not like if you trade him to say you were like the most self-involved narcissist that all that mattered to you was punishing your enemies. Like, sending him to Cleveland isn't this, you know, passage gateway to paradise.
Sure.
I mean, you're on a team that's a little below average, and you're in Cleveland. So, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not like, you know, don't send him to New England.
Baker maybe he'll get sacked.
Don't send him to New England. If you're that bitter about everything, don't send him to New England. Send him to somewhere else. And who cares? But,
And so the second one that's rumored to be out there is O.J. Howard, which they've been saying for a while is, once again, off limits. But now that you take a look at Tampa's record, and it's awful, and it seems to be an unsalvageable season, they're saying, okay, for a substantial offer, we will get rid of him. Who do you think, out of the names that are out there, including those two, are the Patriots more than likely to, or most likely to go after, and what do you think their price will be?
Well, I think that both guy will probably command a first round pick. Mainly the Redskins will get a first round pick for him because the Browns have been trying to give them please just take a first round pick sometime in the future for this freaking left tackle so our team won't stink. I think the Buccaneers probably have to get a first round pick back for O.J. Howard just to salvage some sort of value, right? Like, it's too embarrassing for them to for them to draft him in the first round and give him up.
Okay, so basically the first round pick eliminates the Patriots. The idea that Cleveland's willing to give one up because, you know, Cleveland's pick's going to be much better.
That's what I'm saying.
So O.J. Howard, who else is in on O.J. Howard that you've heard about that could...
I think it's fairly minimal in terms of the teams that are desperate to give up a first round pick for, block heavy, tight end. But you can easily see a path where O.J. Howard comes to New England and immediately turns into a monster. Like, it's not hard to see at all. I mean, this guy's he's been a great blocker dating back to his days in Alabama. You don't have to, he's not some diva that requires heavy usage or splitting him out a bunch. I mean, he'll line up in those formations. And he would be a perfect fit for New England. And so, unless the Buccaneers are just getting peppered with offers, and I don't think they are, just because his production's been so bad. Bruce Arians hadn't used him. Dirk Cutter didn't really use him. And so I would think that New England's first-round pick would get it done. I would also think that Jason Light is going to try and shop around as much as possible to try and get a better pick than – I mean, the Patriots' first-round pick, is sort of treated like a second-round pick around the league, right? I mean, sure. It's not like you get – the Minka Fitzpatrick deal and maybe you get lucky and you get a top 10 pick from the Steelers here. This is going to be a bottom five pick, especially the way the Patriots have started. I think he'll probably try and shop around, but he does have a long history of doing trades with New England and Bill Belichick. And, obviously they work together. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if that did end up happening. But remember, when you're on the hot seat and you're trying to make a case for why you shouldn't be canned, it's a bad look to, you've got this Jameis Winston. Like, what are you going to do with Jameis Winston is one of your problems. And then you're trading away another first round pick to Bill Belichick, right? I mean, that you drafted in 2017. There are some optics there that I would be concerned about in terms of Tampa Bay maybe trying not to make a move.
Okay, so we've all heard about Brady and something's happening somewhere. Someone's saying something. So leading into that, if they trade a first round pick for O.J. Howard, they don't have a first or second round pick in the next year's draft. And then, like, if Brady leaves, the cupboard's very bare offensively. What are you hearing about the Tom Brady situation right now?
Well, you just replace him with Phillip Rivers when he retires. He retires, Phillip Rivers leaves Los Angeles, you replace him with Phillip Rivers, and you're good to go. And then the Patriots win, like, five Super Bowls with Phillip Rivers, and we all live happily ever after.
That sounds... Oh, how funny would that
be? Do you think there's any way Brady leaves? Someone's saying something. I don't know if it's the Patriots or if it's Brady.
Too much smoke around this.
Well, no, I mean, it's someone saying something.
Yeah.
Like I'm of the opinion that Adam Schefter does not go on Monday night counting leading up to the only game of the day and make a big thing about Tom Brady potentially leaving.
Right, because that might hurt his business a little bit. Right.
Right. I mean, but like you don't go out there and say that if you're not hearing something.
Sure.
Like some kind of buzz. And so I don't know. I mean, like I could understand. I think it's a fascinating test case in psychology because deep down, like every rock band of all time, right? Even who's the band we always Motley Crue, the legendary Motley Crue. You know, guys that work together. All these guys always want to see how they do on their own, right? Every rock band does. And I think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady fall into that. Like, I think deep in their minds, or maybe not even that deep, Tom Brady wants to know how he would perform. And how he could play without Bill Belichick. And I think Belichick probably wants to know how he could play without Tom Brady. Having said that, it would be stunning to me as someone who is in his late 30s, likes a fairly rigid schedule during the football season, prefers not to be annoyed with things like, picking up and changing coast. Even if I was rich enough to do it, you still got your wife's still badgering you. Like, where's the supplies for the kitchen? I just can't see Tom Brady wanting to up and move to an entirely different organization. And I know like the Chargers or the 49ers have been thrown out there, depending on what they do with Jimmy G and what they do with Phillip Rivers. But it's like, do you really want to go and work somewhere else? Like, you work in the best business, you work for the best company in this business. That to me, I think. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense for Tom Brady to leave. It feels like it's either retirement or, keep rolling with the Patriots would be my ultimate guess. But like you said, there's smoke.
All right. Well, he could be methods of mayhem. I mean, ideally, he's like Tommy Lee leaving the crew and
it would just
and
be
rocking
a massive
it out with
hit.
With massive. I have a signed methods of mayhem record.
The equivalent of joining methods of mayhem would be like him going to a team and end up finishing 1-15.
Or no, going to the XFL.
Yeah, go to the XFL. I think it's a better example.
I like the theory of the XFL, but like the only appeal for the XFL would be he gets equity in the XFL. But it's like, do you really need equity? Like, you have equity in Under Armour and
Hugs
and everything.
The LA, one makes sense to me because, you know, he's got a place out there, and apparently his trainer does, and his throwing coach, and I guess that there is some legitimacy to him wanting to kind of get involved in Hollywood a lot more. It's almost like LeBron James and everything we heard about him last year, you know?
And if you're look, I mean, the TB12 method is very popular in New England. I don't know that it's necessarily like widely accepted across the country. And if you went to the West Coast and you set up your brand on the West Coast and you played a couple of years for the Chargers in this brand new stadium, or maybe you could play with Sean McVay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I also like the theory that, the 49ers have this out after this year in Jimmy Garoppolo's contract, that Brady goes to play for the 49ers. There was his team growing up, and Jimmy G comes back and plays for the Patriots, and they meet in the Super Bowl with everything on the line and Armageddon to come.
Well, maybe I'll play for the 49ers. I mean, that's the most ridiculous theory I've ever heard.
Well, I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I'd rather have Garoppolo than Brady. If next year, not for the year, but for the future of my franchise.
Well, how is that more ridiculous than him going to the freaking Chargers? They can't even beat Bill Belichick regularly.
Because the Chargers have an aging quarterback. I'm talking about from the perspective of the 49ers. Why the hell
would they get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right. Aging quarterback and a head coach is on his way out. This is the Chargers.
Yes.
Right. Because you know it's going to be a McDaniels, Tom Brady double pack that they'll have to take.
I mean, Jimmy G is 28 next year, and he hadn't looked that awesome. He's got a $26.6 million cap hit, and they can save $22 million by cutting it.
What's his win-loss record there, Will Brinson?
Well, that's preposterous. Tim Tebow had a great win-loss record, too. Get out of here.
Yeah, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Win-loss record. Come on.
That's what I say about Sammy D. I'm like, throw the records out.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy D's got, but he'll get it there. He's got a bad thumb.
I hear you getting flustered. I just kind of shut down there.
How does it feel to get tossed away by a national guy there, big guy?
All right. Well, listen, everyone loves Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available at CBSSports.com and iTunes. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
You guys got it. Have a great week.
All right, you do the same. You know, drink Felger and Maz. Something crazy is going to happen.
I think they're making a deal today. I think this is one of the.
They have a choice. They have a lot of things they need to solve.
Just add it to the weirdness of this entire season.
It's like a backup offensive lineman, they're not standing pat. They're going to bring somebody in.
Sure, and if you win the Super Bowl, then it's the argument. If you win the Super Bowl, is it worth it? Because next year you're not going to have any picks on. You're not going to have a first or a second.
That's true. If the Patriots give away their one for, say, Williams to bring him in as the left tackle,
they're not getting Williams because they would have to mortgage everything.
Of course, they're going to go for O.J. Howard. That's who they're going to try to get.
We'll see. When you got no second, you're giving up the draft with your crap offense and Brady a year older.
They're going to end up with A.J. Green. You're right.
Oh, no, they're not going to end up with A.J. Green. Just a quick snapshot. I was reading in The Athletic in Cincinnati yesterday. The headline, we're not in the business of making other teams better. This is the Cincinnati Bengals way of doing things.
Yeah, well,
they're a sneaky bad organization. They're flying in under the radar considering all the other bad teams.
Yeah. All right. Well, the worst situation in sports right now could be the Jets. So you got that. Except for the Knicks. So you got that going. You got a coach that's 8 games in that everyone hates, or 7 games in that everyone hates, and you got people going crazy in the locker room. We'll be right back.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, fellas, good job on a short week. It's a way to get it going. Turnovers on 3 consecutive plays. Pretty good. It's pretty good. Another one on punt. Almost got that. Screen pass. Been working on those. That came through for us. There's a lot of good football out there. Certainly things we can do better. All right, but there's a lot of good football. So congratulations, man. That's the way to play this game from ahead. That's the way we want to play it. All right.
Guys, sorry. I don't take this privilege too often. And we don't give game balls out without it being a special milestone. And I want you to know September 8th, 1991, the man on my left came to Foxborough to coach the Cleveland Browns against the New England Patriots and won his first game as a head coach. And 28 years later, he's coming back to this same location. and winning his 300th game. Only the third man in history of the 100 years of the NFL to do that. And I'm happy, as we all are, that 263 of those 300 has been as coach of the New England Patriots. And I'm especially happy that 299 was against the New York Jets and 300 against the Cleveland Browns. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a privilege to coach this team. Look, I've been very fortunate. Luckily I haven't played in any of those games. That would have really been bad. So I've coached a lot of great players, on this team, and I really appreciate the way you guys work, pull together, and play as a team, and that's why we're successful. Coach is only as good as his good players, and we got a lot of good players, so I appreciate you guys. This is really for you. You've won those games, okay? You won more of them this year. All right, and the guys that won them in the past, the players win games. Thank you.
And I need to know, not only how do we feel about 8-0, but how do we feel about winning 300? Oh,
yeah! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, that was Slater giving his speech that Mohamed Sanu thought was so effervescent and fantastic.
We were robbed.
There's an edit in there somewhere. They skipped some stuff.
Patriots.
What?
We know the people over there in the media department. Listen to us.
What?
We need the director's cut of Slater. Said?
Sheer brilliance.
What? Hang on. Would you not want everything that Slater says?
Yeah, but I don't think that he said anything like cool.
Well, I mean, Sanu kind of, as I said, blew it up. This is him after the game.
It was pretty cool. Slate gave probably the best post-game speech I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was ready to go play another whole game. I was like, what? And it was like, he do this every after every game. I was like, wow. It was incredible.
Tell us what he said.
Nah, you got to wait and listen. Now wait and see. I'm sure they got it on tape.
She has a big market tease that did not deliver.
Or maybe he talks a lot more. It's like the world's greatest edit. He's just talking and talking and talking, and then they get, how does it feel?
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Okay, so one thing that we have witnessed is how great this defense has been all season long, and they did that tri-screen, the little triple screen during the game.
Belichick and Mayo talking into their hands.
Yeah, it was like Belichick, Mayo, and then right there in the middle they put Steve Belichick.
Right.
Now, Steve Belichick's been around for how long do you think he's been out there with his father? Has it been 10 years now?
I thought it was six.
It's been a while. Just seems like he's been there forever.
He used to play lacrosse on the field.
Used to just stand on the sideline next to dad.
Yeah.
I know.
But picking it up.
But the one thing about Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's son, the one that is you see the most of, it's been a little bit of a mystery. I'd never heard him talk. Have you ever heard Steve Belichick talk? So yesterday, Steve Burton talked to Steve Belichick, and oh my God, does he sound exactly like his father? This is Steve Burton with Steve. This is with Steve Belichick.
What's it like having a dad that's the greatest coach in NFL history?
That's your opinion. I love working with my dad. I don't even know where to start about all that I've learned from him. From when I was a kid to today. I mean, he's teaching me new stuff every day.
Where did he get the accent, first of all?
That's
like a poser Baltimore accent. And second of all...
That is eerie.
Yeah, I mean, like, rebel a little bit, dude.
He's trying.
Yeah,
it sounds like he's trying
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I honestly think that's how he speaks.
You got to rebel a little bit.
I think we need more audio evidence before we enter into the...
Find
He's
me
not
more.
Trying.
Find me more, Steve Belichick. I need, because this sample's let it roll. But I mean, this is, he does not have the smacks of his father.
So we
yet.
All agree Belichick has a little bit of a Baltimore accent.
I don't even know what a Baltimore accent is. I don't.
You guys don't know what a Baltimore accent is?
No,
I can't do one. But you can. There's a heavy Baltimore.
What is it? Can you kind of?
No. Go to Kroll's show, and then there is a the. Between Pittsburgh and there's a forget it, I'll tell you off air. But there is a very, can someone from Baltimore call in Baltimore or something like that? Call in with a Baltimore accent.
John Waters, call us, please.
617. Well, he just talks like a
Oh, crazy.
Oh, Devon, what are you doing? So, yeah, if you have a Baltimore accident, call in. All right?
Okay.
617-779-0.
Somebody said Steve looks like Jesse Pinkman and has the exact voice of his father. Now, that, you nailed it.
Yeah, I'm really lucky to have him as a father and work under him as a coach.
Is he tough on you? Is he tough on you more so than the other coaches?
I don't know. I don't really compare, you know, is he tough on me or is he tough on somebody else or feel bad for myself because he's hard on me. I just try and take the coaching points and get better every day. I think he's hard on everybody. He wants everybody to
do
better.
I need Mike, I need you to do an experiment. He's just a smidge higher in tone. Like, I mean, his pitch of his voice, like he hasn't, like you could tell he's obviously Bill Belichick. I'd like to actually compare that voice to Bill Belichick when he first coached the Cleveland Browns, when he was a little bit younger. Or we could just lower it by one little tone, and I bet it would be identical to his voice.
How do you guys not know what a Baltimore accent is?
Because I don't know enough people from Baltimore.
Yeah, but it's in the zeitgeist.
Okay, name somebody, a famous person with a Baltimore accent. Then maybe I would know what it is.
Oh, boy. I'll have to think. But it doesn't have... I mean, just because there's a famous guy who might not have one doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
No, I'm not saying it...
Do you know what a Pittsburgh accent is?
I know there is one.
Do you know what a Philadelphia accent is?
Yes. I know all about the Philadelphia accent. Yes.
I'd have to hear it.
It's Pennsylvania. It's a Kroll Show sketch, and there's one where they go to Baltimore, and it's a guy from Pittsburgh... A guy from Philadelphia, and then they're dealing with two guys from Baltimore.
Okay,
that is the best encapsulation of the Rich. You got to Kennesaw, Georgia did not give you the great tapestry of regional accents.
It absolutely
really?
Did not.
I'm shocked. Listen, although I will say Atlanta is where everyone else goes to live. No one's from there.
Yeah,
right?
But you would still know a Baltimore accent.
Oh, there's tons of Long Island accents in the South.
That one's easy.
Long Island, Midwest, California. Like I know all those, but I don't know a Baltimore accent because I don't know anyone famous who has one.
There's a very different dialects in California. They're all over the place.
Hopefully he wants me to do better.
All right, aside from his voice sounding like him, it's really boring.
So it says, who's talking, Bill or Steve? I mean, that's a game. I'd never heard him speak before, and it was eerie. Like, if you close your eyes, you don't even look at the video. It's just like, that is his father.
All right, well, suffice it to say, he won't be a good interview for anyone. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up in the Stackarooski, besides my expiration of the... Pennsylvania and Baltimore accents.
I would like to hear what a Baltimore accent
sounds like. The Atlantic Coast accent.
I never watched The Wire, so I'm not quite sure what that's supposed to be. And they're probably all fake bad ones anyway.
The guy who created it's from Baltimore and was a cop, so maybe. The guy who's one of the main characters is actually, I believe, from rural England. Or learn the Baltimore accent. All right, what's coming up?
Netflix has a great idea that just pissed off all of Hollywood, and guess who's already angling for the Browns coaching position?
I know who it is. All right, here are the headlines.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich real quickly because we played Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's got a hint of a Baltimore accent. His son picked it up, though, even though his son has never, there's no way he's ever lived in Baltimore. Here is an example from the Kroll Show. It's Nick Kroll. It's a comedian named John Daly and two other guys. The idea is one's from Pittsburgh, one from Philadelphia, and two are from Baltimore. Here's a lesson in your guys' just closed-off little world of not knowing regional accents. Here we go.
Maryland is humid as balls, man. I feel like I'm in Paul Molly's homeland.
So we were meeting with our cousin Danny's brother-in-law, Paul, and his friend, Neil. And these are a couple big-time Baltimore pawn shop owner-operators. I was a little nervous because I don't know how they do business down here in Maryland. All right, let's get down to business here. Where do you want us to lay the product?
Right on the pavement. That's how we do business down here.
First up, Baltimore filmmaker John Wooders, signposter.
Okay.
Second up, Edgar Allan Poe, Feet of a Crow.
wrote most of his good stuff in Philly.
He wrote his spookiest stuff in Baltimore.
Yeah, because the city's a nightmare.
He's all right, so there you go.
I've never heard anyone talk like that. Like, it's weird because somebody sent me something from The Wire. I guess Snoop, one of the characters on there, and I didn't watch The Wire. And they said this is basically the quintessential Baltimore accent. And I've never heard anyone talk with that.
Philly's
dialect.
Like war ice. Is like water.
I've heard a Philly accent. The Baltimore one is weird. Like, and that would be strange. To be honest, like if I went there one weekend and I found everyone was talking like that, I'd probably think there was something wrong with them. I mean, that honestly sounds like you're kind of brain damaged if you have that accent.
Well, the first voice you hear in that clip is a Pittsburgh accent,
yes.
which everyone in Pittsburgh has. Like Pittsburgh, and then everyone who's from Philly has a Philadelphia accent, and then everyone who's from Baltimore has a Baltimore accent. Because the Boston accent is sort of getting homogenized.
Yeah, it's been overplayed to the point now where it's not prevalent anymore.
It's
not as prevalent, but
if you go to Philadelphia, like everyone has a Philadelphia accent.
Correct.
All right, let's move on. I just wanted that was educational, just for the two of you.
Speaking of Steve Belichick, this is Mike. He put together Bill Belichick when he was younger as the coach of. This is when he was coach of the Browns, right? And Steve Belichick as a little mashup.
It was the best feeling of my life. I thought I knew what it was. 0-1, 0-3, 0-4. I had no idea. That is this special.
The last year and a half has been kind of a blur from the 90 season with the Giants and coming from the Super
Bowl. That's pretty close because his voice is a little higher when he was younger. That's...
I just don't get having zero rebellion. Just completely
to try to change your voice?
Yeah, just like the idea that you're going to speak exactly like your father.
I don't think he's choosing that. I think he absolutely is. If you're raised around speech pattern.
There's no way that he talks like that to his friends. There's not a chance.
Well, I mean, is he more excited? Sure. But, I mean, as far as like his regular speech patterns, I guarantee it's just from being around him his whole life.
Well, I mean, you know, his dad was working 20-hour days. I don't know how much the dad was around to affect your voice.
Dan just said he's a Belichick. He has no friends.
That's right.
It's football. Football is his friend. It's his mistress. It's his everything.
I always find it odd, though, when someone just goes full-on in like their dad. Like when like a guy just goes like, I'm going to be my dad. Like starts wearing golf clothes at like 18 and just like goes like full-on dad right away.
He goes 100% Luke Walton on you.
Yeah, oh, well, that's the thing, is Luke Walton got the stupid, you know, Grateful Dead tattoo and what have you. Yeah, he went over the hill.
Well, speaking of basketball, Kyrie Irving, he's already making a whole bunch of friends over there in Brooklyn. And tell me if you've heard anything that sounds like this before. This is after a loss the other day. Kyrie Irving, take it away.
Later on in the season, as we continue to progress, it will become more cerebral out there on the floor. You know, in the NBA, it's hard to manage a game when you're trading baskets. You know, like it's one of the most difficult things to do, to separate yourself in a game when you go up five and then you give up a three, give up a two, fouls, you know, slowing the game down. So, you know, we still have a lot of experience to garner with each other. So, you know, not to get too high or too low. You know, welcome to the big stage.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that the proper use of the word garner?
I don't know.
We have the.
I just
have
immediately think of the dude that starred in that movie Tank, James Garner.
Oh, that's right. Well, James Garner, most known for one of the coolest theme songs to a TV show in history, in the Rockford Files.
That's true. I mean, also, he had a tank to solve all of his problems. Like when they had a problem with the local government, he took a tank.
Well, that's
over to City Hall and aimed it at them and said, you will do my bidding. And they went, oh, I forgot you had a tank. And basically they let him do whatever he wanted.
It's the fantasy of everyone in middle America.
Watch the trailer for Tank. You'll go, how did this movie exist?
Because he was probably like a wisecracking smartass.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, he said he had to lay down the law.
Yeah, it's like the local police officer pulled him over and gave him a ticket. He goes, I'm not going to pay it. He goes, oh, yeah? And the next thing you hear this music, bam, 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 dar, 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 and he's got a giant tank and he points it at him. The guy's like, oh, attempted murder.
Blowing everything up like a card. How funny.
Talk about that sales pitch when you go into the movie studio. All right, here's the thing. There's a guy who gets pushed around, so he gets a tank and just threatens people with it.
Sold. They probably had, like, James Garner on, like, a four-film deal and realized pretty quickly this wasn't going to happen.
Like,
so they said, what are the production costs? Get a tank. And everything else will kind of fall into place.
Well, if this isn't the most blatantly obvious jockeying for a coaching position, Rex Ryan was, and he's been like killing the Browns for a while now. He was on, whatever that show's called. Hey, it's morning time on ESPN. Here he is talking about Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, you would kill for this talent. And it's so funny how we make excuses for him. You know, first week, hey, that's just the first week, all these penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it hadn't gotten better. And then you're sitting back going, you know, every week it's something else that happens. Well, as a coach, guess what? I would kill for this talent. Any coach in the league would kill for this talent. You might be the most talented team, you know, in the National Football League, and you're 2-5. So who's going to get the, you know, who's going down? I promise you he's going down. Because they're not going to fire the players. They're going to fire the coach.
Hang on. Didn't like 3 weeks ago he say that Baker Mayfield was overrated as hell? And now that he realizes that they might fire their coach, he's like going, oh, it's the most talented team. I mean, this guy, it couldn't be more blatant in trying to move in there. By the way, speaking of Kyrie Irving, Bleacher Report just tweeted this out. They said Kyrie Irving's, quote, mood swings are a, quote, unspoken concern that makes Brooklyn officials queasy. Net sources say an episode happened on their trip to China, leaving the team confused, per Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, same kind of thing. In the same report, according to Jackie McMullen, Irving told Ainge straight up during his exit interview he was leaving.
So he told him in the exit interview?
Yes.
Did we talk to Danny after that? I don't think we did after the exit interview. When the season ended, maybe we did. I'd like to go back.
Per McMullen, Irving's relationship had soured with the Celtics apparently enough to make his declaration immediately.
Well, I mean, he's all but said that he was going to go to Brooklyn the entire time.
No, I know that, but I keep bringing up Spencer Dinwiddie, a guy who was with the Nets, and he said he knew about Christmas time, but we had talked to Danny multiple times leading up to free agency, and he never indicated that.
How many games in are the Nets right now? Are they 3 or 4?
3, 4.
Okay. Yeah, let's say they're 4 games in.
3 games.
You've already got upper management regretting their decision to sign Kyrie Irving. And to that I say, you're so dumb. If you didn't see the writing on the wall with this guy, you are so, so, so dumb.
Just, it bears repeating one more time. The Nets are exactly where the Celtics were before Kyrie joined them the first time. Up and coming head coach. A lot of players that you don't have one star on the team. They overachieved last year and made the playoffs. And then you add Kyrie in a leadership position and things went south. For the Celtics, Nets are in the exact same position. What the hell did you think was going to happen?
All right, we'll be right back. Find out what Zilek and Bertrand have on the way.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich.
This Kyrie Irving article is fantastic. Jackie McMullen came out with it early this morning, and I mean, what, 4 games in, and they're already having concerns about him. And I guess he had an episode when he was in China where he shut down and wouldn't talk to coaches, wouldn't talk to players, and this has already become an issue. And he's already speaking just like Kyrie Irving spoke in post-game press conferences when he was with the Celtics when the crap started to hit the fan. So, good luck. I'm starting to think that Brooklyn knew what they were getting into with him, but to them, that it was worth it just to be able to get Kevin Durant to play for their team. And they're hoping that even if this year's a disaster, as soon as Durant comes back,
He can reel Kyrie in.
And to that I say, have you seen Durant
with the media?
Right, the way.
You've seen the way he is hypersensitive, looking for enemies everywhere.
Yeah, so this should be fun.
This place is not New York.
If only there were warning signs with Kyrie. If only they had been out there.
All right, Bertrand and Zolak, they are out at Gillette Stadium. I see Mark Bertrand. He is out there. Hello, Mr. Bertrand.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. What's going on?
What's going on at Gillette today?
Freezing my ass off in this room again. This air vent above us that's just blowing cold air. It's like 50 degrees outside. What's the point of this?
Now you're in the facility, right?
We're indoors, yes.
Okay.
I prepare for this when we go to the hockey rink, not when we go to the football stadium. All right, I don't get the point of this.
You can't win. Everywhere you go, you are being bombarded with cold air.
Yes. Yes, I don't understand. I don't understand the point of this.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Now, is it a pain in the ass for you to get there and just great for Zolak, or is it six of one, half dozen of the other?
That's fine. It's not a big deal, but this is annoying. You can't shut it off. There's no way to shut this off.
Now, does Hardy have to go down there?
No, Hardy's back there.
Right, so Hardy just goes to when you're at Warrior?
Yes. Okay. There's not enough room here. We're in the room here is 8 feet wide. We're in a closet down here. There's no room to even put him at the table.
All right. Well, so, listen.
All for Zoe. Well, you know, all for Zoe. For all his other jobs.
Are you there really just so Zoe can do the interview with Belichick?
That's it. That's the only reason we're here. We don't get anything out of coming down here. We don't get any players. We don't get to talk to anybody today. We're here solely for Zoe to have convenience to his other jobs.
And meanwhile, you are stuck having to do the show by yourself for you and Hardy without Zolak there because he's invariably always running late.
Often late. Yes. Yes.
What's mm-hmm. I know who's
glad you noticed that.
Getting the raw end of that deal. There's no question who that is. All right. What do you guys got coming up today?
A little bit on Brady and Belichick. Now that Belichick wants to coach until the day he dies, which is great. It's great news for the Patriots. So that's good. The Red Sox stuff from yesterday. Probably a little bit of that. This Kyrie thing is interesting. I think he might actually have mental issues that they should probably help him address.
Well, if you're shutting out, you know, people, everyone around you for, you know, often and for great lengths of time, I would imagine there's
this is after taking him under your wing. He's got wild mood swings that this.
Yeah, like there's some signs there. He might have something going on that someone should try and get him some help. So
it doesn't sound out of the question. All right, you guys enjoy yourselves over there at Gillette. That'll do it for us. We will be here tomorrow. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.